Isaiah chapter 61. Just as you are turning up that scripture, the opening hymn we sang today, number 427, and the opening line says, "My hope is in the Lord." And that hymn is very special to me for two reasons. First of all, because of the content of those words. It turns our direction and our heart toward the foundation of our hope and our security. We are secured in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my hope in the times of the storm of life. We turn our eyes toward Him and we know our confidence is in the Lord. But there's a second reason, and that may be a little personal, but that motto, our hope is in God, or our hope is in the Lord, happens to be the motto for my family crest. And so that makes it doubly special for us, that hymn. But if you have your Bibles open to Isaiah 61, we're going to read from that chapter at this time. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen, your wine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations." May God bless His own precious word to our hearts this morning. Please, let's bow for a moment's prayer. Heavenly Father, as we wait now in Thy presence, we come standing in need of the ministry of the Spirit of God to our hearts. We come, Lord, to pray today that every strange and foreign thought would be taken from us. And for the time we have left in this meeting, Lord, come, we pray, with the power of the Holy Spirit. Write Thy word upon every one of our hearts. Lord, we cannot afford to leave this house today without hearing the Word of God. We cannot afford to leave without knowing that the Holy Spirit has spoken to our hearts and has ministered unto us. Lord, come, we pray, be not silent unto thy people. For if thou art silent unto us, O God, we are like them that go down into the pit. Lord, come and minister and speak to us, we pray, and help us. Lord, thou dost know the need of every heart. And thou dost know the need of that word that has to be written upon the heart of each one of us. And therefore, O God, we come and pray, speak with the power that is able to awaken the dead. Speak, O God, with that power that comes only from the authority of thy precious word, the authority that is given by the power of the Holy Ghost. Help me, I pray, this morning, O God. Help me to speak as thy servant and the messenger of God with the word of the Lord today. Father, I pray as well, do not let anyone who is unsaved leave this meeting without being under the conviction that they need to repent of their sin and turn to Christ. Lord, do a saving work, we pray, in the heart of some soul this very morning. Salvation is of the Lord. It's not of us, O God. We are thy messengers and servants. Help us to point the way. Help us to properly reflect the beauty of the Lord. But Lord, we know and confess that it is the work of God in the heart of the individual. Do that work, we pray today, for the glory of thyself and for the extension of thy kingdom. Hear us, Lord, we pray, for we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'd like to turn your attention this morning to verse 10 of chapter 61. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. The command that we have in the New Testament to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, is very rarely applied and obeyed with consistency. There are times when we hear the word preached and we cast our care upon the Lord, but that when we come to some specific time or hour of our life, we yet fail with consistency to hold on to the Word of God and those promises. Yet in the middle of a life that is filled with increasing stress, and I would say honestly and openly, the potential for a breakdown, the Lord's Word needs to come to us with freshness and with power. And that word and that command is to rejoice in the Lord. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, if you were to consider that Isaiah's prophecy has 66 books in it, and that each one of those books might relate to the 66 books we have in the Bible, then this chapter we have, chapter 61, would relate to 1 John in the New Testament, if you were counting through consecutively. It is rather interesting that the reason that John wrote his epistle, 1 John, was this: that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. We have many challenges and many responsibilities. Yet if we lose our focus and we lose our right direction, then we're not going to have, in the midst of our challenges and responsibilities of life, we are not going to have the joy that John spoke about in his epistle, the reason that he wrote to those New Testament Christians, that their joy would be full as they looked upon the object of their God. They looked upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Their happiness would not be complete, and neither will ours be complete. Neither will ours be full. Now, this chapter that we have in Isaiah 61, it deals with the return of the Jews from Babylonian captivity.
It deals with the years that were eaten up by the locusts, so to speak. And yet God here comes with a great promise to His people. And He says, I will restore those things that you have lost. The shame that you suffered, the ignominy for so many years, I will restore it. For you'll notice in verse 7, He says, for your shame ye shall have double, and for your confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. God was going to multiply when His people returned from captivity back to the land of Israel. He was going to bless them, and bless them He did. Yet, my friend, there can be no argument that this chapter and the prophecies that it contains speaks of something far greater. And I will prove this to you. If you turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. And verse 16. The Lord Jesus is in the synagogue and He is beginning to teach. In verse 16 of Luke 4. And He came to Nazareth where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And He closed the book, and He gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and all eyes, the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And so you see from Isaiah chapter 61, Christ received that prophecy. He opened the book. He read that prophecy. And it was in the very hearing of those people that He said, today this prophecy is fulfilled. In other words, the one who was going to come, the one who was going to come in that spirit of preaching good tidings to the meek, of binding up the brokenhearted, of proclaiming liberty to the captives, was Christ. And my friend, if you know the Lord today, then this prophecy has been fulfilled in your very salvation. For you possess the very fact of Christ having come to heal the brokenness of your own heart and life, to preach liberty to you who were in the captivity of your own sin. He has brought you into the light and the liberty of the sons of God. And today you can rejoice with that great hope that Christ belongs to you and you belong to Him. And so as we come down to the portion of our text today in verse 10 of Isaiah 61, He says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of His righteousness. And I want you to think today with me for a few moments about the Christian's sure happiness and hope. What is the rejoicing of the Christian today? I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Something we can't really see in our text. In the original it says, I will rejoice, rejoice. The Lord often had a way of emphasizing that by repeating the statement twice. And so we have had it properly translated, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Do you know the substance and the theme of our rejoicing is not something we find just in the New Testament, for it is filled in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy 30 in verse 9, it says, And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good. So not only does the Lord say, you will rejoice because of His goodness, but He says also, I will rejoice over you. In another portion in Zephaniah, He says, I will rejoice over them with singing. In 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 10, glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Nehemiah 12. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and they rejoiced. For God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced. And as we enter into the Psalms, there are so many words of encouragement for us. But let all them that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because Thou defendest them. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, ye upright in heart. There is much teaching that encourages us, no, that commands us to be happy and to rejoice in the good things of God, in the salvation that we have in Him. I love that one in the prophecy of Habakkuk chapter 3 verses 17 and 18. Because there were some very, very hard times that Habakkuk was prophesying about. He says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Because it does not matter. Because our happiness and our joy is not connected with the things that we possess or the things we have around us. Job learned that truth. Because in one day, though he was the richest man in all the East, in one day all that he had was taken away from him. And yet he was able to say, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you look and you find that things are not going well for you, as Habakkuk said in his prophecy, the labor of the olive shall fail. Production is not what you had hoped it was going to be. The field shall not yield its meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. Everything that you would put your physical hope in and the things that you can touch are gone. Yet still, Habakkuk said, I will rejoice in the Lord. Because our rejoicing is not founded upon the things that we touch. And yet we are earthly people. We are physical beings in a sense. And so it is so much a temptation for us to rest upon things we can stand firmly on. Rest upon things we can touch. But friend, faith goes beyond that. And the rejoicing of the Christian is that our hope is not in things that we see. It is in things that we cannot see. For that which we see is no longer of faith. Though we may not possess here great riches, yet the promise of God to us is that we have an inheritance that is incorruptible, that fadeth not away, that is reserved for us in the glory of heaven. The riches that you and I possess as a Christian, they are the riches of God that have been given to us through Christ. Indeed, all the wealth of God given to Christ, the inheritance, He has said we are also possessors of that. Blessed with spiritual riches and blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ, all of these things given to us, we are possessors of these things. Oh, my friends, let us beware. Beware of the jealousy of evaluating what people possess. And by thinking that there is some problem with me if I do not have what they have. Because look through the evidence of Scripture, you will find it repeated over and over again. That's not God's economy. Sometimes He will bless people with temporal things. Sometimes He chooses not to. But do not dare fall into the trap of evaluating the blessing of God or of evaluating the happiness of God upon the individual or your personal contentment, because it's not to be weighed in those things. Remember, the judge of all the earth does right, and He will do right concerning you. I don't have what somebody else has. But don't fall into that trap of thinking that, why not me? Why them? I was speaking yesterday to a young man, and I was talking to him for a little bit of time on things of the Lord, and he was saying, well, I have no peace in my heart. I'm not fulfilled. I feel like I'm spinning my wheels and nothing's really happening. I had to say to him, my friend, the problem that you have is that you're not in fellowship with the Lord. You've not set the Lord first in your life. You have not sought first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And therefore these things are not being added unto you. The Lord's hand of blessing is not immediately upon your life because you have turned away from Him in the most essential things of your life. The joy that he longed for was not there because he had neglected his first love. He needs to come back to get right with God. And maybe I'm speaking to someone here today, and that is your testimony as well. You feel your life is running and running and running, but you're not accomplishing any ground. You're not gaining any ground with the Lord. Search your own heart, my friend, because it may be that you have not put the Lord first in your life. Maybe your focus has been diverted to something else. Turn back unto the Lord, and you will find that you too can enter into the truth of this verse where Isaiah said, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Maybe your focus has been diverted. I wonder if your peace and happiness has been taken away from you, turn your eyes again to the infinite and the eternal and the unchanging God of heaven. You know, there's something important here in this text because it says, I will greatly rejoice. Normally, we focus in the Bible on the I wills of God, and rightly so. But here is something that encourages us to think about the I will that has been proclaimed by the servant of the Lord. And so that Isaiah was able to say, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. So also we as believers are able to say, I also will greatly rejoice in the Lord. We were told recently about Reverend Hillis Fleming, who has been crippled because of cancer and does not have long to live by the way it looks. And yet he was able to say, God is still on the throne. And my friend, the judge of all the earth does right. Let us not lose hope in that. Satan has been defeated. God is sovereign in the affairs of men. In the councils and in governments and in secret places, God is still sovereign. He is still in control. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Our text says, my soul shall be joyful. If your soul, which is the center of you, if your soul is focused and is central upon the Lord, then indeed your whole life, your person, your outlook, your actions, your conversation, all of these things which are motivated by the soul, by the center of the man, the entire man will be affected by this truth. It is true that at times the expressions of joy may not be so evident. But the true joy of the Lord runs much deeper into the heart of the individual than that. You and I know that joy does not mean always having a smile upon your face. Because it may be that outward things are causing you to be preoccupied with the necessary responsibilities of life. And yet if you scratch the surface just a little bit of someone who knows the Lord and who is experiencing the joy of Christ, that joy will be there because the joy is manifested in how they respond to the circumstances of life. And when things get them down, their hearts are very soon turned unto the God of their salvation. The hope that is in them, in their hearts, they are resting in that hope. Oh, my friend, do not be discouraged and turned aside, but rather let your heart and your confidence be on the unchanging Word of God, because the Lord is the true hope that you and I have. He is the center of our joy. I want to move on, secondly, to the reason for the Christian's happiness. And that's the second part of our text. He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. When Adam was in the Garden of Eden, he was naked physically, but he was clothed spiritually. He was walking in communion with God. He was at one with his Creator. There was complete peace and harmony. And we can say absolutely there was complete joy in the heart of Adam in his fellowship with God. Yes, he was not clothed physically, but he had a clothing which was a spiritual clothing. And yet when Adam sinned and disobeyed God, he was stripped of his spiritual clothing. And he found himself both naked physically and naked spiritually. And so he tried to cover himself physically, but it would not do. The covering that he had was not sufficient to cover him. Oh, but my friends, God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together. He has made us alive, and he has clothed us with the garments of his salvation. But at what cost? What are these garments of salvation that we have? Friends, they refer to the removal of our sin. The removal of our sin and the putting upon us this salvation which allows us and which shows us that we are accepted in the sight of God, for our sin has been taken away. And you will remember in the Garden of Eden, it was God who killed the first animal. And he killed that animal and he took the skin of that animal and he covered his creatures. And the picture that is there for us is that the innocent animal was taken and was killed for the guilty victim, the guilty party. And so we have the picture painted so clearly for us that there was going to come one fulfilling the prophecy of Genesis 3 and 15, the seed of the woman. There was going to come one who was going to be the innocent victim to stand in the place of the guilty. And so Christ has stood in our place, has taken the wrath of God for my sin. And he has borne the penalty that I should have borne. And in so doing that, he hath clothed me with the garments of his salvation. And so that today I possess that. I'm covered with that forgiveness of sin that Christ has given to me and that has merited by his own death on the cross. My friend, there's something more here. Because it does not just say that we are covered with the garments of salvation. It says we are covered with the robe of righteousness. And that's something different. Because I say to you most reverently today, that if all Christ did was to die on the cross to take the penalty of your sin away, then you are left wanting before God today. But Christ did something much more than that. Not only did He die to take the penalty of my sin, but He lived a holy life that His righteousness might be applied to my account. And so that I don't live today to appear before God in my righteousness, but I live to appear in the righteousness of Christ alone. And so He has both died for me, and He lives for me. And I now am able to appear covered and clothed with not just the garment of the forgiveness of my sins, but also in the robe of His spotless righteousness. And that takes part of the both aspects of the work of Christ as He lived a holy life and as He died an atoning death. My friend, if you're without Christ here today, then you are neither given the garments of salvation, nor do you have the robe of His righteousness. But the Lord has offered in mercy, because this whole chapter deals with the very essence of the gospel, which is Christ coming to bring in healing to the brokenhearted and to bring deliverance to those who are captive. And today you are captive in your own sin. And my friend, today Christ is offering to you the way of salvation, the way of freedom, the way of deliverance from your sin. Would you not receive that free gift of His salvation? Then you would be able to enter into this very joy that Isaiah is talking about here. We are covered today, my friend. Have you stopped to consider the immense blessings that you have in the Lord Jesus? Have you stopped to consider and think more deeply, why is it that I have a right to rejoice? Why is it that I should be joyful in the God of my salvation? Because Christ has died. He has given to me Himself, His own righteousness, so that I now appear in the presence of God, spotless and clean. I have everlasting life. I have the joy that no earthly thing can take away from me. And therefore, when we are found in the very crucible of testing, when we are found under the tightening of the screws of providence in our life, let us come back again to drink in and to feast on the fullness of God, to feast on what He has done for us. Today, my friends, the Lord is on the throne and Jesus Christ is coming back again. And it may be sooner than we know. And He is coming back to establish His kingdom. He is coming back to reign and to rule in righteousness. Will you be ready to meet Him? Will you, with open arms and with great joy, meet the Lord at that day? I encourage you, if you do not know Jesus Christ today, to repent of your sin and to call out unto Him. It's not something that I can do for you, but friend, it's something that you must do yourself between you and the Lord. Repent and to call and to cry unto Him for mercy and for forgiveness. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that this day the Spirit of God will take Thine own precious word and write it on every heart. Lord, I am thankful today that though I am a sinner, I have been saved by Thy rich grace. And though there is no good within us individually and personally, yet we have all the goodness that is necessary for us to appear in Thy most holy presence. We thank Thee for the fact that our Savior is living in glory to intercede and to pray on our behalf. I thank Thee today, Lord, that we have a cause and a reason to rejoice, because the Lord has done all for us, whereof we are glad. Father, continue to speak, I pray, this day. Work in the hearts of those who do not know the Savior at this time. Speak to them, I pray, and bring them to a knowledge of Christ. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.